The current standing is 9 3/4 inches. South of that boundary, hot and humid weather prevails. As the frontal boundary moves southward, chances of precipitation will increase across Missouri and central Illinois and Indiana this evening and tomorrow, then further south into the Ohio River Valley by Saturday. High temperatures today will range from the low 80s across northern Wisconsin to around 100 degrees across western Missouri. Low temperatures tonight will range from the upper 50s across northern Wisconsin to near 80 degrees across east central Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois includes a heat advisory. It is in effect until 7 p.m. this evening, and it is in effect for all of the counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area. This afternoon, mostly sunny, hot, and humid. Look for a high of 95 and heat index readings from 105 to 110 degrees. The wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low 75. Evening heat indices will range from 100 to 105 degrees. The wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high will be around 90. The wind will be out of the west from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the low 70s. The wind light and out of the northeast. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high around 90. Saturday night and Sunday, partly cloudy. Expect a low Saturday night around 70 and the high Sunday in the low 90s. And the outlook for Sunday night, mostly clear with a low in the low 70s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the upper 70s to the low 90s. It was cloudy north, sunny south. Rockford reported rain at the top of the hour, 79 degrees. O'Hare, light rain, 78. Bloomington, 86. Springfield, 88. Carbondale, 91. 83 at South Bend, 92 at Lafayette, 94 at Indianapolis, and at Terre Haute, it was 91. Willard Airport reported a sunny sky at the top of the hour, 88 degrees. The dew point, 76. So that put the heat index at 100 at noon. The relative humidity, 67%. The wind out of the southwest at 7. The barometric pressure, 29.99 and steady. And at 1240, 91 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. 1 year after an oil spill, workers are still cleaning up the bottom of the Kalamazoo River in southern Michigan. An estimated 840,000 gallons leaked from a broken pipeline owned by Enbridge Energy. Lindsay Smith of Michigan Radio reports life for those living near the accident site has not returned to normal.
Deb Miller is standing behind her carpet store in the village of Suresco, 6 miles downstream from where the pipe broke a year ago. We're looking at black, goopy masses as big as my fist floating on the Kalamazoo River.
The home that we live in was my husband's family home. But if it was up to me, I would have been gone the week of the spill.
There are 200 acres that state regulators still classify as heavily contaminated from the spill last year. Here, the black clumps are in the water, on the riverbanks, on long strips of white and orange boom. There's a faint smell, sort of like nail polish remover. Workers wearing neon vests dot the riverbanks. At the height of the cleanup, 2,500 workers stretched along 35 miles of the Kalamazoo River. Cleanup continued through the winter. Now 500 workers are trying to collect the heavy tar-like oil that's settled on the river bottom. Environmental Protection Agency officials are calling this cleanup a unique challenge. No one remembers dealing with this much submerged oil in a river. But they say Enbridge Energy has been cooperative. Enbridge estimates it's cleaned up 90% of the oil spilled. Federal regulators, though, haven't finished their investigation yet, so we still don't know how much oil actually spilled or what caused the broken pipeline. The company has settled the vast majority of the nearly 2,400 claims, though there are at least a dozen pending lawsuits. I tried talking to people really close to the spill site. Door after door, no one answers. Some of the homes are obviously empty. Enbridge has already bought 130 homes. And Deb Miller says that's changed her neighborhood forever.
I don't blame anybody for getting out. There's too much unknown. There's too much unknown.
I meet Craig Ritter near the spill site. He lives about a half an hour away and says he's been kayaking this section of the Kalamazoo for years. The day after the spill, he says the river looked like black death.
The river was black. You couldn't even hear the water. The water going over the rocks didn't sound like water going over the rocks. It almost sounded like a kid sucking on a super thick milkshake. I mean, it was just...
We head behind an abandoned riverfront ranch with a portage on for workers parked in the driveway. Ritter says it looks way better on the surface. He shoves a stick down into the shallow water. A blue oil sheen bubbles up, along with that black goopy stuff I saw at Sarusco Dam.
That's just from little sticks stirring it up.
Is that horrible or what? Wanna go for a swim?
Ritter looks down, wipes the sweat from his forehead, and shakes his head.
Unfortunately, I don't think life on the river is going to be the same.
The EPA says Enbridge must clean up the submerged oil by the end of August. But there is clearly a lot of cleanup yet to do, and deadlines have been extended before. For NPR News, I'm Lindsay Smith.
Sources tell NPR that automakers in the White House have reached agreement on a new fuel economy standard of 54.5 miles per gallon for cars and light trucks. The new standard would be phased in beginning with the model year 2017 and fully implemented by 2025. The president is expected to announce the agreement tomorrow. NPR's Elizabeth Shogren has more.
The agreement would kick in 2017. By 2025, the average vehicle will go 54.5 miles per gallon. To get there, cars would have to improve their fuel economy by 5% per year. Light trucks would start out at 3.5%, but increase to 5% later on. The White House didn't officially announce the deal, but sources close to the talks outlined it for NPR. And environmentalists like Brendan Bell from the Union of Concerned Scientists were briefed at the White House.
Your car is going to go further on a gallon of gas. You're going to spend less at the pump. You're going to have cleaner air for your kids. And we're going to be less reliant on oil as a country.
Bell says Americans will have to pay more to purchase new cars, but savings in gas will add up to thousands of dollars over the life of a vehicle. It's the second fuel economy agreement that President Obama forged with the auto industry. The first one will boost average fuel efficiency to 35 miles per gallon in 2016. Chrysler says it supports the deal. Automakers say it won't be easy to meet the requirements, but several are expected to give their endorsements by joining the president for the announcement. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News, Washington.
Art museums are for the most part full of paintings and sculptures you might love to own but never could afford. In Atlanta, the High Museum of Art is showing some museum-quality objects that have been affordable over the decades, either as originals or knockoffs. Modern by Design taps ordinary 20th century items, which the Museum of Modern Art in New York bought for their permanent collection and are now lending to the High. NPR's Susan Stamberg reports.
All day long in the lobby of the museum, an adorable little orange robot with a long arm is assembling 40,000 small metal squares, one on top of the other, into the shape of an 18th century French Rococo-style table.
You know, I've never interviewed a robot before.
She's quiet, the robot, but has a great work ethic. Dutch designer Joris Laarman built her for this Modern by Design show on commission from the High Museum. Someday, the Dutch designer believes, we will all have such small robots and make our own tables and chairs and anything else that strikes our fancy. That is design in the future. Some past designs are at the heart of this show. Wait a minute. Look at that. What is this axe doing in the middle of a museum? Wait, and then there's this sewing machine. And the blade of a saw. And from 1941, a Chemex coffee maker, a big Pyrex glass beaker with a wooden belt around its tapered middle and a narrow leather strap tied around the wood.
It's something that I, you know, lived with and loved.
Michael Shapiro, director of the High Museum, remembers a knockoff from his student days.
This kind of thing, which had a sense of utilitarian purity, simplicity, made great coffee, and it was nothing more than almost like a chemistry set. It was just beautiful.
But to put it in a museum, a spatula, poultry shears, a soup ladle, such ordinary, everyday objects. Michael Shapiro says their designs make them special.
Simple, pure, honest, direct craftsmanship is sort of like what Frank Stella said about his paintings in the early 60s. What you see is what you see. This is what it is. This coffee maker is what it is. This axe is what it is. This sieve is what it is. It's nothing more than what it is, but we can make it simple and beautiful.
From the first and groundbreaking 1934 Museum of Modern Art design show, a no-fuss black spring from a railroad car.
It's like a slinky gone mad.
Yeah. You know,
it's a slinky that went to the gym for 2 years.
Also on loan from MoMA, that first modern design show, something Michael Shapiro calls radically simple, a gleaming silver sculpture that is, in fact, the aluminum propeller of an outboard motor.
It's a fan, really. Right? It's a fan for pushing water. But when you're tired of the boat, you can just take the propeller off and mount it in your home, in your living room.
You know, I just think the word modern and modernism is confusing. I always thought modern meant this minute, but it doesn't.
I think contemporary means this minute. Modern really means a historical period leading up to the present day.
Modern, the period, begins in the 20th century. So if you grew up in the 1950s, in today's, i.e. contemporary parlance, that is mid-century. Just to make the more mature among us feel truly modern. In Atlanta, visitors of all ages are coming to see this Modern by Design exhibit. The High Museum has an ongoing partnership with the Manhattan Museum. MoMA gets new audiences for work that may be in storage in New York. The High gets great stuff. They had Monet water lilies from MoMA 2 summers ago, which attract visitors from all over the Southeast. And Atlanta design curator Sarah Schlinning says, an exhibition like this one gives museum goers some aha moments about how they live.
I think in the end, what these shows suggest is that we have a choice of what we consume, what we wear, what we surround ourselves with, furniture and objects, and that there are good design choices you can make, whether they're expensive or not.
If you think about it, everything around us has been designed. Someone, somewhere,